This podcast is part of the Big Heads Media Podcast Network. Go to bigheadsmedia.com for more great podcasts.
Welcome back to another edition of Pistons Thoughts. I'm your host, Jordan Letterman. Solo show today, but we got some things to talk about because today was media day for the Pistons, which is the unofficial or official or whatever you want to call it. Get back into it. The summer is over and basketball is within our grasp. It is back. The long summer is done. We made it. Congratulations to you. Congratulations to you and you. You did a great job. I think we all did a great job. But we're here and we got things to talk about. As we mentioned last episode, the Pistons made some great moves this summer with very limited flexibility. And I think with Media Day today, some of the players, the coaching staff, Stefanski, everybody's talking about it. Everyone's excited because the Pistons did something that they haven't been able to do in a while, and that is acquire some really good depth and some really talented bench key role player pieces that are going to help this team go farther than it did last year. Starters didn't necessarily get better or worse this summer, I think. You replaced basically Bullock and Wayne Ellington for Tony Snell, who's a great 3-and-D guy. And Bruce Brown, in theory, is going to get better. You can't bank on it, but you can bank on his defense for sure. In theory, he got better. He added a little bit better three-point shot to his game, but if Summer League showed us anything, he can distribute and facilitate off the pick and roll. He's a good slasher, and if he can get better at finishing at the rim, then yeah, the starting lineup got better. But where the Pistons are really going to make their money this year is the bench unit, because they brought in some key guys to give a bunch of depth, which does a few different things. First of all, you get to switch it up in the game. Starters aren't doing well, slow start, whatever. You throw in the second unit, and they're really, as Markieff Morris said today, there's not going to be much of a drop-off, if at all, when you go to this bench unit. And more importantly, I think, is you're going to allow Derrick Rose, Blake Griffin... You're going to allow some days off this year, some load management, as the kids say these days, and that's going to hopefully help them, you know, with their longevity towards the playoff push. Last year, the Pistons couldn't afford to give Blake any days off unless his knee was a torn meniscus and he absolutely needed to sit, as we dealt with. But if they gave him any time off last year, the Pistons were probably going to lose that game. But this year, with Markieff Morris, with Thon Maker, I don't think there's really that much of a risk to give him these days off throughout the season. And the Pistons training staff, including Arne Kander, our man, medical consultant, or whatever they're calling him nowadays, I think they're going to come up with great plans for these players, even Reggie Jackson. Keep them healthy, keep them fresh, and you're not going to have to just sit them and be like, whoop, that's a lost game, because they got depth and they got talented people behind them to win these regular season games. Essentially, the Pistons turned Ish Smith into Derrick Rose, which I think is a phenomenal upgrade. I love Ish Smith, love what he did with Detroit. We appreciate you, Ish. But Derrick Rose does what Ish does, but better and more. We're talking about a guy who averaged almost 24 points per 36 minutes last year. He had a great season. And he's going to be handed the keys to the second unit along with Luke Kennard, and they can just score. And they can get buckets, they can carry the load offensively, pick up the pace, as Ish Smith did with that second unit. That's the fun thing about the Pistons teams the last few years, is you have the slower pick and roll, you know, light motion, dribble handoff offense in the starting unit with Reggie Jackson at point guard. And then you've been able to give the keys to Ish, but now Derrick Rose... You pick up the pace, this second unit is going to be fun. You're looking at Luke Kennard, who's coming off a great playoff experience and some great performances. He was honestly the best player on the Pistons other than an injured Blake Griffin. Those two together in the backcourt off the bench, they're going to need to find a way to coexist, but I think it's going to be really fun watching those two score. I mean, those two can give you 30 a night between them, I feel like, pretty easily, and I have a feeling that's going to be close to the case. And then you get Markieff Morris, who's a big guy who can stretch the floor, is going to play some defense like his brother Marcus. He's a tough dude, and he brings the Detroit mentality, grit, and toughness every night. And he's essentially replacing John Lohr and Zaza Pachulia. So that's not all bad. And then you look at Tim Frazier, who's replacing Jose Calderon, who we all know, we all love, but damn, he should not have been on the team last season playing meaningful backup minutes in the 30 games that Ish was hurt. Just isn't going to work. So I don't understand how anybody can listen to what I just said, seeing that we turned Zaza Pachulia, John Lure, Jose Calderon, Glenn Robinson III, Stanley Johnson, all those guys essentially turned into Derrick Rose, Markieff Morris, Tim Frazier, and Thon Maker, if we're including the Stanley Johnson piece. But you're looking at a team now for the first time in a long time who has two potentially complete five-man units that can come in, hold their own, if not excel over the other teams. And Markieff Morris said it best today, Pistons are easy a top five team in the East if healthy. Derrick Rose today said that he sees something in this team that we might not, which is a big part of why I come here. And if that doesn't get you excited, then I think you need to change teams because I am ready to run through a wall for this team right now. The biggest question when it comes to the bench unit is what in the world is about to happen with the small forward position. Because you have Sfi, you got Sekou, and now you have Joe Johnson to the mix, who is sounding like a lock to make the roster. And I have absolutely no idea how this small forward rotation is going to play out. On one hand, you have Joe Johnson. I don't see him being the primary backup small forward. I think there's no way that he gives you 15 to 18 minutes a night through 82 games. I just don't see it happening. But is Sfi ready to take the keys to that primary backup spot? Or is Sekou going to come in early, impress at camp this week, maybe impress during the preseason to get himself an early roster spot? I have no idea. But it's interesting because you have two really young guys, and then you got Mr. Old Joe Johnson over here on two completely ends of the spectrum, and I have no idea how that's going to play out. So that's one thing. And then the other thing is the backup center spot. Markieff Morris today implied that he was expecting to play more five this year. But on the other hand, you have Christian Wood, who I'm a big fan of, and I hope that he's going to end up on the roster. We'll get to that in a bit. But I think he would be the primary backup five if he makes the roster. And then on the other hand, you have Thon. So I don't know that I love a lineup, a front court of Thon Maker and Markieff Morris at the four and the five. But I do trust Casey, but there's a weird infatuation with Joe Johnson with the coaching staff and management, which I'm not sure that I see. But hey, if he impressed in the workouts, if they think he's going to be able to greatly contribute this year, I'm all for it. And at the end of the day, he took the 15th spot on the roster, so it's not the end of the world either way. But at the very least, this team ended last season and into the playoffs with one small forward on the roster, and that was rookie Sfi Mikhailiuk, who came over midseason, really didn't get any opportunity in Detroit. I guess he just wasn't up to speed with everything, which is fine. But he was the only small forward on this roster, and now the Pistons are full of could be really good, could be small forwards with Tony Snell, Sekou, Sfi, and now Joe Johnson. So it's going to be really interesting all around how that small forward position pays off. Because again, it could be really It could just be like they're there to fill the spot and it's a body in the lineup and that's all it is. But on the other hand, with these young guys like Sfi and Sekou, it's like there could be some real upside by the end of the season. We're going to see how that plays out. Training camp starts tomorrow, which means that we have battles on battles on battles. This is going to be a crazy training camp, and I really wish that we were able to get a look inside this whole thing, stream every practice, stream every team session. But basically, right off the bat, you have Joe Johnson and Christian Wood competing for the last roster spot. Now, from everybody and everything said at Media Day today, it sounds like Joe Johnson is pretty much a lock to make this team. It sounds like Casey loves him. I think he was a big part of bringing him in the first place. Casey loves him. Stefanski loves him. It sounds like Joe's making the roster. So Christian Wood is playing for his Pistons roster life right now through this training camp. Now, it doesn't mean that it's necessarily between Christian Wood and Joe Johnson. In theory, it is because they're the two last non-guaranteed players fighting for one spot. But there could be some moves made. There could be a Langston Galloway for a second round pick trade coming. There could be a Kyrie Thomas as part of a better asset deal coming. I'd rather avoid that one, but there's downsides to every pretty much way you go about this. On one hand, if you move Langston and his $7.5 million salary, that's an expiring deal that could have been incentive at the trade deadline to get teams who are trying to blow it up, who could get you a better player back in the first place because you're getting rid of this expiring deal. And that way you could pair it with, let's say, a Reggie Jackson's contract. Then you'll have about $25 million in expiring deals to go after, let's say, you know, a Bradley Beal or something that we all have been clamoring for, but we're probably never going to get, and that's okay. But moral of the story is that you could pair Langston's $7.5 million with Reggie, who's also an expiring deal, and get a bigger, better player along with some assets, obviously, that you'll have to give up. But that's something that you lose by getting rid of Langston for a second round pick to clear this space. But I do think that's probably the better move because I think Christian Wood is a really good player. He was killing it in the G League the last couple years. He killed it in 8 starts with the Pelicans last year. And the Pistons are in dire need of a legitimate backup 5. I think Markieff Morris is going to be a great small ball 5, but I just don't see how you can rely on him as the backup 5 every minute all year long. It just doesn't make sense to me. And the reason I singled out Khyri Thomas out of all of the other young guys is because that shooting guard position is a logjam. Khyri is a smaller player, he's 6'3", and he doesn't really play the point guard position, so you're really locked into playing him at the 2. It's not like you can necessarily throw him in at the 3, which is, you know, the biggest position of need. Otherwise, we'd be fine. But when you have Bruce Brown, Luke Kennard ahead of you, I think that Khyri might end up being the odd man out. Hopefully it doesn't turn into a Chris Middleton situation eventually. Of course it will because we're Pistons fans and that's what happens. But I think he could be the odd man out, but I do think that it's better to hold on to him for now at least because he's a really promising young player. Anytime he got minutes, even in the summer league, like he shows you something. He can score the ball. He's a very skilled player. So I hope that it's more along the lines of a Langston Galloway for a pick type deal than Khyri Thomas for anything else. Then you move on to that, as I'm talking about it, the 2 position, which is a fight between Bruce Brown, Luke Kennard, Khyri Thomas, Langston Galloway, and reports are that Jordan Crawford is going to be at training camp too. So that's another 2 guard fighting for 2 to 3 spots. Dwayne Casey does like playing 3 guard lineups, so it could be done to have 3 of these 2 guards in the rotation, but that is a lot of guys fighting for pretty much 2 or 3 spots. Bruce Brown is pretty much a lock to play with the starters. Luke Kennard is absolutely a lock, hopefully to get 25-30 minutes a night coming off the bench. So that leaves Khyri Thomas, Langston Galloway, and if the Pistons are looking at Jordan Crawford, it could be Jordan Crawford too. I have no idea how this is going to shake up. If I had to put money on it, I really think it's going Bruce and Luke and none of the other ones. I think Kyrie's going to get some end of the first half minute sort of thing, you know, a few minutes a night in certain circumstances, but I don't see him as part of the rotation, and I would love him to be because I think he's a great player, as I said earlier, but it just seems like he's the odd man out here. Then you move on to the 3, as we mentioned earlier. This is going to be the weirdest battle throughout the whole training camp. I guess realistically, one of these 3 that I'm about to mention could start. But the starting job is likely Tony Snell because he doesn't need the ball. He's a great 3-point shooter. He's a solid defender, and he's just someone that you can add length to the starting lineup. Really solid role player. I think he's a perfect fit. Sort of what we thought Glenn Robinson III was going to be last year. Turned out to be completely wrong. Whoops. But between Svi, Sekou, and Joe, I really personally hope that it's Sekou. I have a feeling he's going to be brought along pretty slowly, but you know, he has the most upside out of any player we have on this roster. Youngest player in the draft, we talked about it last podcast, but there is so much possible upside. And Andre Drummond today was raving about his talent. He just needs to pick up to the speed of the game and get all of the schemes and everything with the team to crack the rotation. But we're going to see. I'm excited to see him in training camp as well as the preseason. I have a feeling Svi is going to be the primary 3 off the bench. And I have a feeling Joe Johnson is going to be getting a good amount of minutes as well. Not every night. I don't think Joe's going to see the floor every night, to be honest. But I think he's going to get 10 minutes here or there to sort of change up the look and change things up a little bit. Then at the 4, it's really between Markieff Morris and Thon Maker. But as we mentioned earlier, that sort of also depends on how the 5 plays out. Because if Christian Wood does not make the team, then you got to switch between Thon and Keefe. And those are the only 2 big men behind you. And that scares me. I don't think Thon can guard centers, and I don't like Markieff guarding the bigger centers. Hence why I would love to keep Christian Wood, but it's not up to me. So I guess I can't make these decisions on my own. But Pistons, if you're listening, let me know. I got you. I can hop into the front office, help you make these decisions. I don't know why you wouldn't trust me with all of your basketball decision making. But I digress to the point guard battle, which also could be the most exciting. There's a lot of exciting battles here. This is really exciting. As I mentioned earlier, just with all of its depth, there's so many lineup possibilities. There's so many different five-man rotations that can really play well with each other and can really stack up with some other lineups in the league that are supposed to be pretty good. Now, there's been a whole debate on the Twitter sphere all summer since Derrick Rose signed on if he can start or if it's Reggie Jackson or what's going on there. And let me answer this question because, again, you know, the Pistons are going to trust me with their basketball operations one day, so it's not a big deal. You might as well trust me, too. But Reggie Jackson is the starter. I think there is like a 2% chance that he does not end up being the starter day one, barring any injury, obviously. Knock on my IKEA wooden desk because I'd rather nobody get hurt this year. But Reggie Jackson makes more sense with the starting unit, and here's why. He's a better shooter, especially in the catch-and-shoot situations, than Derrick Rose is. He's a good pick-and-roll guy with Dre. They have that chemistry they've been building up since Reggie got here. And last season, towards the end of the year, as he got more healthy, he was more of a facilitator creating plays, so it's not all 100% Blake Griffin, because that's going to be a problem this year. But Reggie's making plays. He's a better shooter with the starting lineup. And I think it just makes more sense for him to start because Derrick Rose, on the other hand, not as good of a shooter, though he did improve last year and really hope that keeps going. Absolutely love Derrick Rose. So pumped he's here. But he can't play a full season. And maybe he could physically, but you can't let him play a full season because of the injury history. And that's where the load management's coming into play. And you can't rely on Derrick Rose to start that many games. I think to preserve him, he's going to get load management days, but also he's going to be playing only 20, 25, maybe 28 minutes some nights, but you can't play him starter minutes and start him if you want to keep him healthy all season. I think that's just the thing you need to accept, but the reason that's totally fine is because he can come in off the bench with Luke Kennard, you hand those two the keys and you say, just go score. Just go get all the buckets you need. You don't have to worry in the starting lineup about Blake Griffin, about Drummond, about anybody getting touches. You just go score and do what you do because that's what Derrick Rose does. He is a cold-blooded scorer. And it makes too much sense for him to come off the bench, be the sixth man with Luke Kennard than it does for him to start. It doesn't make sense for him to start. And I don't think people realize this. It's not a matter of who's the better player necessarily, though I think they're pretty close. But it's a matter of fit, and that goes with the Luke Kennard situation too. It's like, I don't think he should start, unless the coaching staff finds a way to get all of these shots between Luke, Reggie, Dre, and Blake. And I just don't see that happening. Again, sort of like Rose, just give him the keys off the bench, let Luke take 30 shots a night, give him 40, doesn't matter to me. Because that man can score just like Derrick Rose. And they can both make plays for everyone else where you got Markieff Morris off the bench scoring as well. If Svi's in the lineup, he is a shooter. You got a lot of space and a lot of scoring on that second unit. I don't know how the defense is going to go, but man, it's going to be exciting to watch on one end of the floor. And also, it's going to be really fun to see how Tim Frazier stacks up with these guys because Frazier is a really solid point guard. He is much better than a third string point guard. But I think that's why he signed here because he's going to be the primary backup's point guard for a lot of the season, I think. You know, whether it be load management, hopefully no injuries are involved, but Casey does like to play with two point guard lineups, and I do see Reggie Jackson and Derrick Rose playing together a lot. Maybe with those games is where Tim Frazier comes off the bench, takes some backup minutes off their hands, and calls it a day. One thing that got me incredibly pumped is Andre Drummond saying that he wants to become the defensive player of the year. Now you're looking at a guy who everybody maligned for his defensive effort and intensity and his instincts and all that stuff early in his career. But if you watched the Pistons last season, as the year went on, it was so clear how much better Drummond was getting at the defensive end. He's becoming a better help side defender. He seemed engaged on pretty much every play. And he just instinctively, it seems like they just popped up and were like, here you go, Dre. Here's all your defensive instincts you've been lacking. And I think that if he continues that trajectory, I don't see how he isn't in the conversation for Defensive Player of the Year. it obviously, as sort of the MVP race does, it matters how your team is doing. And if the Pistons are playing well, if he becomes an all-star again this year, if the Pistons are doing good at the end of the year, if they're top five, like Markeith said, I don't see any way that he's not in the Defensive Player of the Year discussion. And I really hope that happens, because there's a lot of people, especially even in Detroit, that don't think he's worth paying some money to. And I think winning Defensive Player of the Year is going to be a big step in the direction for him getting some money this summer. But at the end of all this, long story short, training camp is here, media day has happened, and we made it to the end of the summer. It's time to get pumped. I hope this is going to be a good year. If it's not, you can blame like 10% me. I'll accept that. It is what it is. But thanks for listening. Until next week, I will talk to you then. Pistons basketball is back, baby. Let's go.